The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show. And Ray, today is Giving Tuesday, and we'll carve out about 15 minutes at the end of the hour to talk a little bit about what that means with some of the folks from the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. Very important day for the nonprofits in our community, and we have a lot of nonprofits. It is Tuesday, November 28th. 2017. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Got our live streaming. If you're near a computer, well, you can hear the program on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got you covered there. Lots to talk about in the first segment, so I want to get right into it. Dr. Zach Guido, a frequent guest of this program, always honored to have Zach, climate scientist at the University of Arizona Climate Assessment for the Southwest Group, based at the UA-based Institute of the Environment. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you, yesterday 92, certainly the latest 90 ever, latest 90 in this calendar year. Mm-hmm. Usually don't get 90 degrees.
No, it felt like summer, right?
It's been a year, and unless something dramatically changed in December, looks like we're going to have pretty much the hottest year on record.
We are. It would be very unlikely, I think, for us not to have the warmest year in this part of the country on record. We are barreling towards that, and that's on the heels of a warm year last year. And it's if you look at the U.S. Writ large, it's been one of the warmer years in its record as well. So it's an expression not just here in the Southwest, although we're feeling and yesterday's in a testament to that, but we're feeling pretty warm conditions recently.
And it's been very dry.
Yeah, and I mean, those are the two stories so far, at least since July, the halcyon days of the monsoon in July. But since then, September produced in this in Tucson, at least at the airport, very little, if any, precipitation. October was dry as well. November seen one day of rain. So if you sandwich all those months together, those 3 months together, I believe we're coming in at about the sixth driest 3 month period in the last 123 years. So
boy, I sure miss those 10 days in July. And of course, I was complaining about it a little bit. Oh my goodness, it's raining every day. Well, for about 10 days there, up at our home in the Central Foothills, according to our very unscientific rain gauge, 8 inches. So that's a lot of rain.
Yeah, I mean, those 3 weeks and at the end of July basically produced the bulk of our precipitation this year, this calendar year. So, it's been dry since then. And, you know, hopefully this winter produces a little bit more rain than maybe some of the forecasts are calling for. It is a very weak La Nina event, which tends to bring southern parts of the U.S., in particular Arizona, southern parts of Arizona, dry conditions. So that doesn't bode well, although we've had La Ninas in the past that have actually produced wetter conditions. And we're sort of teetering in the weak realm, so it wouldn't be out of character for there to be some rain events this year, a lot of them actually.
Dave has called us on the live line at 790-2040. You'd like to comment on the heat. Go ahead, Dave.
I attended a lecture at the U of A a few years ago about climate change, and these scientists have studied this in great detail with computer simulations and tree ring research, and they have come to the conclusion that Arizona's going to get the brunt of it, that we're going to experience more heat and loss of rainfall than anywhere else in the country, and it looks like it's happening.
Yeah, I think Dave's on to something that I think many believe, Zach, that we are on the front lines of this change in climate.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at sort of the global circulation, at least when you think about precipitation and the impact of global climate change, what people think is that you're going to end up expanding sort of the dry zones. And, you know, we're in a dry zone, but we do get moisture during the winter and a little bit during the summer. And it's all the simulations and the work that's been done by a lot of scientists are calling for areas that are dry to begin with to become drier. And when they're drier, as we've seen so far this winter, you know, we don't get those storms that bring the cold air. And so there's sort of an amplifying effect with temperature. So both temperature and precipitation, although temperature is more certain that it will increase, particularly in this area, than precipitation is. But there is calls for drying conditions as well. So, climate change, at least in the temperature, is we're seeing it. We're seeing it in a lot of different indices, from not only thermometers, but glaciers, from
forest fires,
from when the dates of flowering. You can look at a number of data sets.
Yeah, this is kind of strange. Some of these flowering giant saguaros that we've been seeing.
Yeah, they're flowering right now, which is really late. And you know, the biology is attuned to the climate as well. So they're reading the cues of these late warm temperatures and thinking it's a little bit earlier on. So we're seeing that expression in a lot of different things.
And the discouraging thing about the forest fires, we had such a wet winter last year in parts of the Northwest and up in British Columbia, Alberta, areas that you would think, oh, that will certainly carry over. It didn't. And the reason it didn't carry over into the summer was the temperatures.
Yeah. When you have warmer temperatures, it just dries out the landscape quicker. And you know, fires are complicated. I mean, there's a management history that's part of that the fires that contribute to the fires, as well as a climate signal. But there's no doubt that warmer temperatures dry out the landscape quicker.
So, what is your forecast for the winter?
What is my hopeful forecast?
Yes, your hopeful forecast is snow for Christmas.
No. I think. What the sort of climate science is saying, and again, I go back to our main sort of magic eight ball, if you will, is it's what goes on in the tropical Pacific Ocean and what we call El Niño, La Niña, or the Southern Oscillation. And it's calling for a weak La Niña event. And what happens then is that the atmospheric circulation basically shifts a little bit north. So instead of being under a stronger jet stream and getting storms ferried in from, let's say, Hawaii. People sometimes refer to this as
Hilo Express.
Yeah, the Hilo
Pineapple Express. Yeah.
Instead of getting those, we're sort of under a drier scenario, and the storms are pushed more to the north. Now, in a weak sort of La Niña, which is where we are today, there's that drumbeat isn't quite as strong, and so you can have other influences, and that may play out. We will likely get rain events. We just may get fewer of them than we would otherwise expect. So the official forecast, the people who do this for a living, is calling for increased chances of below average rainfall and above average temperatures, and they're related. We'll see. I mean, my hope is that we get some more precipitation. I mean, Arizona now, southern Arizona, was labeled as a moderate drought for the first time in a while by the U.S. Drought Monitor. So we're in short-term drought conditions, and so I think the area could see some precipitation. Hopefully that'll happen.
All right. Zach, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Green Things and Silver City are two of our fine sponsors that we want to mention right off the bat. First of all, Green Things, poinsettias. They are very, very, very popular over at Green Things, where they have over 25,000 grown in several warehouses, greenhouses. How's that? Well, they're like a warehouse, but they are ready for your holiday decorating. 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. By the way, Green Things easy to find just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, Poinsettias. There you go. They've got a lot of them. Silver City, also a great place to get away if you're looking for a few days off. Coming up, a lot of people do over the holidays, just a 3-hour drive to Silver City. And it is by nature of their elevation, being about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, it is cooler, which really this time of year and the weather we've been having here in Tucson will feel very good. Good time to go out hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just hanging out. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Shelley Fishman is coming up next with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, U.S. Senate candidate Republican Kelly Ward joins us. Plus, we'll talk with chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live listening podcasts and the complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
It's always a pleasure to welcome the man himself, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Hello, Shelley.
Bill, how are you today?
Very well, thank you for asking. When you look at the big board on Wall Street, you're either going to see, on days, you'll see a lot of red, or you'll see usually a lot of green. What are we seeing today?
Today is green.
Is up. I like it.
It's not quite as high as it was earlier. I think we're backing off from those highs, but we're still about half a percentage point up on the Dow for the day. That's about 117 points. And even though I scratch my head, as do so many in my profession, and go, why?
Wow. Yeah, why?
It's a great ride, and if you're on that sled, my gosh, you know, enjoy the ride.
Those numbers will look really good unless something drastic happens in December for the year end.
The numbers for the year end are looking like they're going to be maybe even 6 or 7 percentage points higher than what the consensus projections were earlier in the year.
How about the dollar? It's been a very strange ride, especially in November.
Yeah, you know, the dollar has done just strange things. And you know, anytime you're measuring the dollar or you're measuring any currency, you measure it against another currency. So I can't tell you that the dollar has dropped or that the euro and the yen and the pound sterling have risen, but the combination of the effects is that the dollar has gone just in November from about the euro has gone from about $1.11 today. I saw it had peaked out last night at over $1.18. So that's almost a 10% increase in the month. And if it were just the euro, you could kind of attribute it to strong economic growth in the European markets and also the stability that seems to be hanging around Europe right now, even with what's going on in Germany. It looks like Angela Merkel is going to be able to form a government. And with a strong France and a strong Germany kind of setting the pace, that provides for optimism. And the forecasts around the world, we had Goldman Sachs last week, and also I want to say Solomon Brothers. It may not be. I may be wrong about that. But the forecasts for 2018 are about 2.5% GDP growth in the U.S., about 3.5%, believe it or not, in the eurozone, and somewhere between 4 and 6% in Asia. Asia being as large as it is, you're going to get. There's no real average there. You've got, you know, you're kneeling on a block of ice with your head firmly in the oven. So on average, you're okay. But the extremes in Asia are still going to make talking about averages in Asia a little hazardous. Nevertheless, what you're seeing in the forecasts by most economists that at least I keep track of for 2018 is stronger growth elsewhere in the world than here in the U.S. And that would indicate that if you have an appetite for risk in your investment portfolio, that you may want to weigh more heavily in some of those areas.
The whole basket of currencies, and that's kind of what we're
talking
about.
Yeah, the yen
Europe.
Is up 10%.
Yeah, so it's the basket's looking looking strong.
The pound sterling. Yeah, so. And you know, given the uncertainty around Brexit, you would wonder why the pound would recover against the U.S., and which you know, when you look at that kind of balance there, I begin to think that perhaps some of the problem here isn't necessarily strength in the pound, but rather weakness in the dollar. The reason being that if we do get some tax reform or tax cuts or whatever you want to call it, it's just a mess right now. But if we do get something, that will almost certainly increase the deficit. That will almost certainly increase inflation. And that is the kind of thing that would weaken the dollar in relationship to the the euro and other world currencies. So what you'd see in a case like that is the ability of U.S. manufacturers to export. That's a good thing. Foreign tourists coming here would be encouraged. That's a good thing.
Americans traveling
aboard. Americans traveling aboard, well, you know, out of luck.
Build
there.
In another 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 20 if it's going up.
Right. So no normal administration is going to try to manipulate currencies in order to meet objectives, economic objectives. But if the dollar stays weak, then the ability of U.S. industries to take excess production and export that production would be enhanced. And that would very much play into, I think, the objectives that the Trump administration have set out for how to grow the economy.
Well, it makes our products cheaper abroad.
Exactly.
So manufacturers may welcome this.
Well, that's precisely right. Yeah. They welcome this kind of thing. They love cheap dollar.
Uh-huh.
When especially if they have some excess capacity. If they're at 100% capacity and they're selling everything that they can make and they don't have any appetite right now for building new capacity, then they don't really care. But when there's some spare capacity, when the efficiency of factories and the efficiency of workers has improved, and, you know, we're about the limits of that right now, but certainly that's what's been going on for the past 6 or 7 years, then they would prefer to export those excesses rather than store them in inventory. So what you'll see is inventories go down and exports go up, and that helps our balance of payments as well.
So how does this affect those who are invested in overseas funds through mutual funds, say a European fund, an Asian fund, or a global fund?
Well,
how have they done this year?
So the answer to those the question in a way that I can answer it.
Okay.
the overseas markets have done very well against even the U.S. markets. We've seen really amazing strength in Northern Europe and even in some of the countries that were in trouble a couple of years ago. The Japanese market has, you know, done okay, but not really as well. The Chinese markets have done, you know, pretty well too. So if you take a look at what's going on for the full year, the world equities have done well, and it seems to be disconnected, and that's the probably best word I can find, disconnected from GDP growth around the world, so that the equity markets are outpacing GDP growth by a factor of more than three. And as you know, there's no scientific basis for this, Bill, that I can find. But anytime you have markets outpacing GDP growth by a factor of three or more, we're due for some sort of correction.
Yeah, you would think so. So those who have been invested in their mutual funds with a European fund, they've done pretty well?
Yeah, absolutely. And those American corporations that are highly dependent upon either exporting to Europe or sales in other parts of the world, they have also done well. And as you know, the S&P 500, almost 50% of revenues come from outside of the United States. So all in all, it's been a really great run. And so when you scratch your head and go, well, you know, here we are at a 2-3% GDP growth, and that certainly is not gangbusters. Historically, it's where we are for the past 15 or 20 years. What accounts for such extraordinarily positive corporate earnings? And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the world has simply caught fire. And you might remember several years ago when the emerging markets, the emerging countries, Brazil, China, India were doing very, very well. Everybody was enjoying tremendous prosperity. We had that 30% year, and then it was just great. And then they slowed down,
yep.
And everything kind of ground to
especially Brazil.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, especially Brazil. But also percentage-wise, China slowed down from maybe 12 to 6 or 7, depending on whether you believe the numbers, and India has also slowed down. So when you see that kind of slowdown and how it affects our economy, and now you see that that slowdown has reversed itself, it is a very interesting time to look at global markets and maybe overweight your portfolios in favor of those global markets, especially those that are insulated from what might happen in the U.S.
All right, Shelley Fishman, good to see you, Shelley. Have a good rest of the week.
And to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Shelley Fishman is available. And, well, you can find it very easy. I almost said anytime, anywhere, but I don't want to make...
Oh, come on!
There you go. All right, but he is...
Any street corner.
In a way, he is available at buckmastershow.com 24/7. Be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, look out for scams. If you suspect a scam or want to be a hero and report a scam, go to BBB Scam Tracker at bbb.org. Second tip, be on the lookout for dubious companies and charities with similar names to a well-known entity. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Giving Tuesday. This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater on Saturday, December the 9th. That's this Saturday. The Fox, not this Saturday, a week from Saturday, right? Jump the gun. The Fox welcomes six-time Grammy Award winner Ronnie Millsap. Ronnie Millsap's had so many hits. In fact, his signature sound has garnered 40 number one hits. So that's really amazing. So Ronnie Millsap coming to the Fox. And then we have coming what is going to be a lot of fun. The Generations all get together for the Lightwire Theater's magical holiday tale, a very electric Christmas, a captivating display of family, friendship, and hope set to a timeless holiday hits by Nat King Cole, Mariah Carey, and Tchaikovsky. To purchase tickets to see the full Tucson Theater schedule, visit foxtucson.com. Let's now go to our live line and visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Lots going on. It's Giving Tuesday. We're going to talk more about that at 12:45 with the folks from the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. But as you know, Dan, we have a lot of nonprofits in this town.
More per capita than any other major city, is my understanding. I may have made that up, but
no,
it sounds
I think
right.
I think you're on to something there.
All right, fair enough.
What do you have going on in the arts? This is a very popular time, December. A lot of folks getting in the holiday spirit, despite the very warm weather.
Well, if you want to mix two things, you want to celebrate the holidays a little bit,
yep,
and you want to check out the renovated Tucson Museum of Art, do I have something for you? Sunday, December 10th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is Second Sundays Family Day at TMA, sponsored by the Stonewall Foundation, but it's also a holiday celebration. There will be festive art-making activities and gingerbread house decorating, a performance of Hansel and Gretel by the Arizona Opera, and also Santa Claus. Mm. Not just a Santa Claus. I believe it's the Santa Claus.
Oh.
We'll be there at the J. Knox Corbett House. So it's a unique opportunity. You get both of these things together. It's also free, so keep that in mind. Just mark the calendar ahead. Just box off December 10th. You've got plans. It's a full day. Also, on a different note, Contreras Gallery and Jewelry always has a great selection of shows reflecting sort of the historic cultural aspects of Southern Arizona. Their Milagros show opens on Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. It runs through January 27th. It's exhibitions of religious folk art. They're dedicated folk art pieces with a lot of really notable Tucson artists like Melo Dominguez, Mano Sotelo, Will Taylor, Rudy Flores. So by the note on the website, it says it's also kid friendly.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
yeah, that's also a plus too. Give the kids a little bit of heritage. That's at 110 East 6th Street. You can learn more on their Facebook page. Also, Why don't I take a little road trip? December 1st, Village of Tubac, 34th Annual Lubinaria Nights.
Ooh, that'd
yeah,
be nice.
Tubac's lovely. If you haven't been down there in a while, it's a great opportunity to get down there.
That's this Friday night.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. December 1st, actually December 1st and December 2nd.
Okay. There are
things happening until 9 p.m. each night. All the galleries are open, light refreshments, holiday cheer. There'll be music. There's lights all throughout the village. At the Tubac Center of Arts, apparently Santa will be there. I don't know if it's the same Santa. I can't. A Santa will be at that. I don't. I can't speak
well,
for
a hey, it's
other.
A busy time of year for those that do portray Santa.
That's true. Wait, I'm confused by portraying Santa. What do you mean by that?
There's no, we won't go there. No.
Okay, fair enough. You know, here's something. Yo-Yo Ma with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, Tuesday, December 5th. This is one night only. How many times do you get the opportunity to see Yo-Yo Ma? probably the most famous cellist of all time, one of the most famous classical music performers of our generation.
Where is he? Where is he performing?
At the Music Hall with the Symphony Orchestra.
Whoa.
So he'll be, he's a Presidential Medal of Freedom winner. He's a Kennedy Center honoree. He has 18 Grammys, which is more than I have for sure. But he'll be performing. You'll have to check it out with Tucson Symphony Orchestra. There's some complications with the tickets because this is a hot ticket item. But give him a call, figure it out. You won't want to miss it. Got time for one more?
I sure do.
Oh, great. Let's mix it up on the Christmas front. How about the John Waters Christmas at the Rialto Theater? That's coming up on Saturday, December 2nd. John Waters, you may know from his films like Female Trouble, Hairspray, Serial Mom. He's written books. It'll be a one-man show about the piety and profanity of Christmas, it says. So take that for whatever you wish. It will be something. It's that one distinctly is not for children, just as a heads up. There's a parental advisory on those tickets.
I think it's been a pretty good year for the arts when you look at it, hasn't it? We've had some great entertainers coming to town here.
Yeah, exactly. The venues like the Fox, the Rialto, Congress have all had more things than ever before. I mean, it's just packed full of stuff. New theater groups. We haven't had any significant losses on that front. Everything stayed open that was open at the beginning of the year, as far as I know. More like markets, I think, which has been great. Like more opportunities for local artisans to sell things. The Cultivate Tucson Holiday Pop-Up Market is this Saturday. Things like that. You know, Vintage Market at the Clifton. Saguaro Market. So it's really been a really good opportunity for that. I feel like there's stuff popping up all the time.
All right. I'm going to tell the people about Ronnie Millsap, who's coming to town. My goodness.
He's great. If you haven't seen it, Country Music Hall of Famer.
Have you seen him? My goodness. This guy's got a 6-time Grammy Award winner. Over
4 days, that guy.
Over 40 number one hits.
No, I'm in. I'm in for Ronnie Millsap. He's great. I think people sort of like overlook that 70s, early 80s era country, but it's solid. He's a great performer.
Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Dan Gibson with us on the Buckmaster Show on our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. The Fox is presenting 6-time Grammy Award winner Ronnie Millsap. Throughout his career, Ronnie Millsap has brilliantly blended country with touches of rock and roll and pop. Next, gather the generations together to enjoy 2 holiday shows on December the 14th. Lightwire Theater presents a very electric Christmas, a captivating displayed story of family, friendship, and hope set to the timeless holiday hits by Nat King Cole, Mariah Carey, and Tchaikovsky. Then Friday, December 15th, enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Mexico's musical heritage when Mariachi Sol de Mexico de Jose Hernandez presents Mariachi Christmas. To purchase tickets to see Ronnie Millsap on December 9th and any of the Fox's festive selections of holiday shows, visit foxtucson.com. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over 1 million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first 3 Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is a very important day for nonprofit organizations in our community, and we have a lot of nonprofits, and they do need your support. Today is Giving Tuesday. I want to do a quick shout-out to one of my friends, Dylan Smith, who is the editor-publisher over at NonprofitTucsonSentinel.com, and Dylan asked that I mention this, and I will gladly do so for his Tucson's online news service. They have a 2-for-1 match going today at TucsonSentinel.com. The Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, since 1980, has been a leader in nurturing many of the region's most outstanding nonprofits and educational institutions in search of solving problems and uplifting the region. And they've done this, they're doing it now, but they're also doing it for generations to come here in Tucson. With me in studio, the president and CEO of the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, Clint Mabee, is here. Clint, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you?
Good to see you. Thanks for coming in, very appropriately enough, on Giving Tuesday.
How about that, Bill?
And Phil Amos is with us. Phil is the former chair of the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona's board, and he's currently chair of the Community Foundation's Campaign Council, which is spearheading an effort to create the Community Foundation campus, which will be a shared space for community advancement. So, Phil, thank you for coming in. I want to hear all about that in a moment or so. Thanks
Happy
for coming
to be
in
here.
Clint, before we get into this shared space for the new campus, kind of give us the 30,000 foot above the elevator pitch, if you will, for what is the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona?
The easiest way is you have an investment advisor for your investments. We're an investment advisor for your philanthropic gifts. We're somebody that helps connect you to the causes you care about, not only now, but after you pass, and make sure that money goes to whatever issue you want it to go with, whether it's unrestricted to the community bill, whether it's to animal welfare, whether it's to a program at the U of A. We make sure that your donor intent is honored in perpetuity.
Phil, tell me a little bit about how you became involved with the Community Foundation.
So my father was a lifelong Tucsonan. He passed away in 1990.
Buddy Amos.
And my dad was very particular, even growing up. He said it's really important to give money and give effort back to the community. That's the most important thing you can do. And my father was often, along with a couple other people, Jim Click, some others, were chosen to lead various campaigns, Boys Club, United Way, different campaigns. And my dad did it frequently. And about 1978, 79, he was introduced to the concept of a community foundation. Mm-hmm. Willie Moore, another local Tucsonian, suggested that they go visit the Indianapolis Community Foundation, where somehow Willie had a connection. And my dad came back from that. He said, wow, what a great idea. If we could get enough money together and there's money in perpetuity to be given out and I don't have to do these capital campaigns every mm-hmm. year and that fund would grow to service the needs of the community, that would be an incredible thing. So he decided to put his effort. He got some other people, Jim Burns, Jim Click, to get together and raise $1 million mm-hmm. as a administrative endowment for the Community Foundation. And that's where he put his effort for the remainder of his life.
So he was pretty much influential in getting kind of the seed money and getting the whole foundation going.
That first $1 million is hard to raise. The idea mm-hmm. was new to Tucson, but he was well-connected and he believed in, you know, he's a big proponent of Tucson and he believed in this whole idea of charitable giving and creating an endowment that would be there after you're gone. And so he worked very hard to raise that $1 million. He was successful. And today the Community Foundation has assets over $150 million. It gives out $7 million annually. And that's happened over 40 years. And it's large enough now to really start having a huge impact.
And for folks who do not know, Tucson Realty and the Amos family go back to territorial days.
Yeah. Yes. My grandfather moved here from Michigan when he was a young man. One of his sisters had TB, and they came out here. It was often the case to try to recover. She did. And my grandfather went to go work for the two people that owned Tucson Realty at the time. And then when he came back from World War I, he had some money in his pocket, and there was some divestiture rules that came through Congress, and he bought the company.
Hmm. Clint, maybe community foundations, Phil was just mentioning, they initially had gone to visit a foundation in the Midwest. How widespread is this model across the country?
It's very widespread, Bill. Community foundations were started now a little over 100 years ago. There's over 760 community foundations in the United States, holding now over $60 billion in assets and giving away a little bit more than $7 billion to the community every year.
Let's talk now about the expansion and a new campus. Phil, you want to bring us up to date on the efforts to kind of, first of all, why do we need to expand and have a campus for nonprofits?
Well, we're the CFA's old headquarters. We just sort of outgrew it. It's roughly 5,000 square feet. You know, as our endowment grew, the need for getting people together and our ability to help those people has grown with it, and we just simply outgrew our present facility. So the idea of a campus is really Clint's idea, and looking at some other places, he brought that concept. We're really, we would be there, but we'd have space for other nonprofits to come together, to collaborate, to share ideas, to save money by, you know, coming into our space and sharing those resources. And it's been proven that by doing that, those nonprofits can leverage much more effectively the money that they have. And so it's a place that, and it's a leader in the community, it's a place where we can help that happen at our new facility. So the new facility is roughly 22,000, 24,000 square feet. It's three buildings. Two buildings are standalone, roughly 4,000 square feet, and the main building is 8,000 square feet. We'll take the top floor. The bottom floor will be, it's going to be a shared area. Even small nonprofits can get together. They can rent a desk. They can rent two desks. They can come in there and they can share. And then the other two buildings will probably have about eight tenants with 1,000 square feet apiece.
So, Phil, I have in front of me, and Clint, I have the rendering for the new Community Foundation campus. Clint, where is this going to be?
It's the old Boy Scout, Catalina Boy Scouts campus. So if you know it, it's 5860 Broadway. It's Broadway and Rosemont. It's a little bit to the north of Broadway, maybe half a block on the west side.
And what Phil has touched on, some of the advantages of putting a lot of people under one roof, this would really make your job easier and really can help kind of get the nonprofits in a central location, right?
That's it, Bill. You know, our mission is about bringing together these nonprofits to collaborate. And we didn't have the space to be able to do that. And Tucson didn't have a place where all those nonprofits are coming together to share best practice and collaborate. And that's why this is putting our mission into bricks and mortar to make that happen.
We're speaking with Clint Mabey. Clint is the president and CEO of the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. And Phil Amos is with us. Phil is a past chair. I believe my friend Jan Lesher is the current chair, isn't she now? Is she the current board chair?
Yes, she is.
She is.
She's given so much to this community over the years. You've got the right choice there. So what is the timeline, Clint Mabey, for the new campus?
Demolition just began. We are going to begin as far as getting people into those spaces, that process, sometime early in 2018. Our expectation is to have it up and running somewhere in the late summer, early fall of next year.
How will the funding be handled for this, Phil Amos?
So our goal is to raise $4 million. We've already secured cash of and gifts of about $1,535,000. The rest we will secure from past trustees, donors that we identified in the community, and also a lot of the folks that already have funds at the Community Foundation will probably agree to move some of those funds over to help the building of the building.
I'd like to touch a little bit on the work the Community Foundation has done this year. Can Clint or Phil or both of you, can you share some of the stories of some of the really important work that has been done this year?
Well, one of the highlights this year is the success of the Southern Arizona Coalition for Military Families that we helped create over 3 years ago. And it is the largest group helping connect veterans to jobs and the services they need to keep them in all of Southern Arizona. Hmm. And it's remarkable in working with the governor's office and Wanda Wright, who runs the Veterans Affairs for the governors, to be able to see the development of this initiative. There's over now 250 people involved in locating vets and getting them to the services and connecting them to jobs. We were able to start a new program called Program Bridgespan that allows somebody that's going to move out of the military to get the okay to 6 months before they move out to internship at a local company.
Wow.
And so they get to work with that company, and we've connected them with Jim Click and Raytheon and Kate Industries. And then we provide the services to make sure that they're successful in that job. And then when they come out of the military, they've already got employment.
That is a success story. Also, an area I, as you know, Clint, I'm very much a passionate animal welfare person. And I want to congratulate what you and your team have done in kind of, the big adoption event that you have in the spring. I mean,
right. So we still are having, still having Adopt Love, Adopt Local,
right.
Local. That will happen again in April of this year.
Yep.
We are still running our PEAM Alliance for Animal Welfare, which is the multi-collaborative effort of all the animal welfare groups in this community.
Acronym is PAWS, appropriately enough. Yeah, but that was great getting everybody under kind of one umbrella. Yeah,
that's right, because it was the first time that it happened in our community, and actually it was the county and city coming to us saying, can you serve that function for us to be able to get them together so we can get a common agenda out there for the animal welfare community? And it's had some very, very big successes, one of which is helping the development of the new Pima Animal Control site out on the west side of the city.
Yep. And we'll be talking to some of those folks actually Thursday on the program, getting an update. Clint Mabee, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Phil Amos, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
And so the fundraising effort is ongoing, right?
It's ongoing, and I encourage anybody who would like to make a gift or would like to learn more about the Community Foundation to contact us. And we'd be happy to talk to you.
Just Google Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. That might be the best way, right?
Right.
All right. Clint and Phil, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great holiday season.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 5. Ray Allen will ably help Mike out in the hour. Wake up Tucson 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, we have Pima County Supervisors Chair Sharon Bronson as one of our guests on the program, along with Kelly Ward, U.S. Senate candidate. Busy show tomorrow. On behalf of Ray, I'm Bill. Have a great afternoon.